It's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, found on page 1174. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit, to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, please let the Holy Spirit be with us as we gather to receive your word. Open our hearts and minds to comprehend the truth you share through this sermon. May your guiding light illuminate our understanding, leading us to walk in your ways. In humility, we seek your grace to grasp the profound teachings ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. How does that make you feel when your friend, who is a businessman and give you lots of advices in running a business, but you find that his company has to close down due to huge losses? How would you value his advices? Would you give him the same value as if he has a healthy and profitable business? Or you may start questioning the significance of his words. In another scenario, if you heard your gospel preacher was in prison, what would you think? Would you start thinking like, his message is that powerful after all? Would you be discouraged? Now, let's take a look at what is talked about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. Here, in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, for this reason, which means because of what he taught about in the previous chapters, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. We can see there is a dash at the end of verse 1. Paul suddenly stopped here and began to talk about something else, or something that popped up in his mind before he continued what he planned in verse 14. That is, to write a prayer, which Phil will talk about this next week. So, what makes Paul stop here and add a paragraph to tell his readers? Verse 13 may give us a hint. In verse 13, it said, I ask you that you refer to the reader of this letter. Therefore, which means based on what Paul has mentioned above, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory. Paul is worrying that the readers may be discouraged or lost heart because of his suffering. What is his suffering? In verse 1, we know that he becomes a prisoner, and it is because he spread the gospel to the Gentiles. Therefore, Paul worries that his status as a prisoner may hinder the power or significance of the message that he delivered to them before. As a result, before he moved on the prayer in verse 14 onwards, he has to insert this paragraph from verse 2 to verse 12 to talk about this mystery, to reinforce his message. This paragraph can be divided into two main parts. The first part is from verse 2 to 6, which mainly talk about the revelations of the mystery. The second part is from verse 7 to 12, which mainly focus on Paul's role as apostle. In the first part, we may subdivide it into three small subparts. First, it's about how does he know this mystery, which means in what way he get this mystery. Second, what is the mystery about? And lastly, what does he expect the readers to react after knowing this mystery? Now, we are going to explore these three parts one by one in detail. First, he wants to tell the readers how does he know this mystery. In verse 3, it says, "The mystery made known to me by revelation." The way that Paul knows this mystery is important. It is by revelation. Revelations means something that is previously unknown or kept secret, and now being disclosed or exposed, which means it is always exist. It is not something that doesn't exist before. It's always there. It's just we don't know about it. For example, there is a TV program called Magic Biggest Secret Finally Revealed, which is one of my favorite TV programs. In the show, the magicians reveal different magic tricks, show the audience the principle behind each magic trick and how magicians perform it. We say the magic tricks are revealed because now we know the principle behind it. The principles always exist. It's just we don't know about it before it is revealed. Same as the mystery that Paul talked about. The message or the meaning of the mystery has always existed. But now, by revelations, we can understand the meaning of it. Also, in verse 5, it says, "It has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets." It lets us know that the revelations is come from the Spirit, which has an additional meaning that it is initiated by God, that Paul can understand this mystery. It is not by Paul's own effort to discover it. The way Paul knows this mystery is like God sent a direct message to Paul and tell him the truth. Without God taking initiative to reveal this mystery, Paul can never understand it. Therefore, Paul described these revelations as solely based on God's grace in verse 2. Let's go back to the example that I have just talked about, the magic trick. How would you feel when you see a magic trick? Normally, I would be amazed by the trick and I would say, "Oh, it's great!" And the second sentence that comes up immediately would be, "How could he do that?" Deep in our hearts, we have a tendency to know the truth, the meaning behind, and how precious it is for us nowadays to know the mystery. Without God revealing it, we can never know about it. Now, what is the mystery that Paul talked about? In verse 6, it states, "The meaning of this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus," which aligned with his teaching in chapter 1 and 2. For example, in chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." And in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two." Also, in chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "In one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross." The truth of the mystery is the unification of Jews and Gentiles in Christ. After knowing the truth of the mystery, what does Paul expect his readers to do? In verse 4, it says, "In reading this," which refers to the verse 3 about something that he has written, and that referred to what he wrote in chapter 1 and 2 about the unity of all things in Christ, "then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." Paul wants the reader share the same insight that he got from the mystery. I remember when I studying counseling, there are three stages of in a therapy. The first stage is the exploring stage, which examines clients' thoughts and feelings, lets the client express their feelings in a safe and comfortable environment. The second stage is insight, which allows the clients to understand the reasons for their thoughts and feelings. It requires self-awareness and self-understanding. And the third stage is action stage, which means after clients have their insights in the issues they face, they will take actions to make changes. In other words, when Paul said, "Understand my insight," he wants the readers to have a deeper understanding about the mystery, to own that mystery, not just stop at the logical thinking stage, but understand it, accept it in their hearts, which may lead them to make changes. Looking at our own lives, do we have insights from the Bible? Or we are still in the exploring stage? Are you a person who has lots of knowledge about the Bible, but you find it difficult to exercise the teaching from it? Or you can exercise it because rationally you know what you should do, but inside your heart you can feel the tension between your heart and mind? Let's pray that when we gain insights from the Bible teaching, we can put them into practice with our changed heart. Concluding the first part of the message, which concerned the revelations of the mystery, we may summarize what Paul wants to deliver to his readers. First, the mystery is come from God's revelations by His grace. Second, he restated the message of the mystery, that is, the Gentiles are included in the promise in Christ Jesus. Or we could say believers should no longer be classified as Jews or Gentiles, but classified as Christians under God. And finally, he wants his reader to gain insights from the mystery of Christ and make changes accordingly. Now, here's come to the second part of the passage. It is from verse 7 to verse 12, which mainly focus on Paul's role as apostle. Here, we may divide it into two subparts. First, from verse 7 to verse 8, is about how Paul described his ministry. Second, verse 9 to verse 11, is about the effect of his ministry. We will look at these two points in details now. First, how Paul described his ministry. In verse 7 and 8, it states, "I become a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the lost people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ." Here, we can see how Paul feels about his ministry. In these two verses, we can see the word grace appears for two times, which was used to describe how Paul feels about spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. He didn't describe it as, "It is God assigned the task to me to preach to the Gentile," or "It is my job, my duty, or I am forced to preach to the Gentile." He describes his works as God's grace. From his experience, from his expressions, we can feel that Paul are happy and enjoy in his preaching. He does not think it is a burden, even he is in prison at that moment. You can never sense his frustrations or setback from it. Furthermore, Paul described himself as less than the least of all the lost people in verse 8. The reason he described himself in this way is because he had opposed the gospel and even persecuted Jesus' followers. It seems he thinks he should not be qualified to become apostle and help God to spread the gospel. But because of God's grace, he was given this task. It magnified the marvel of the grace of God that made him apostle to the Gentiles and unfolding the administrations of this mystery. Nowadays, how would you describe your ministry works? For example, when you are leading a home group, a prayer, or being a helper in the Sunday service, how would you describe your ministry work with others? Would you say, I have a job, a task to do on this Sunday evening, that is, to preach in front of the congregations? Or you would say, I'm so happy and excited that I can share God's word in front of my congregations on Sunday evening. Is God's grace that I could have this opportunity? Which description would you choose? Also, when you are facing difficult situations, for example, no one come to your home group, or kids are not listening to you during your teaching, could you still stay positive and trust with God that He will lead you and that through His reign, everything is under His control and plan? Paul has set a good example for us to follow. Even though he is in prison, he is still trusting in God and describes his role as a gift of God's grace. We not only see his positive attitude towards his ministry, but also how deeply he owns his ministry, how meaningful it is for him to spread the gospel. Now, we can come to the second subpart. What is the effect of his ministry? In verse 9, we can see it says, to make plain to everyone the administrations of this mystery. That is, let people who heard about the gospel also know the mystery of it. In verse 10, it says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. We can see there are two levels in the effect of the ministry. First, let people on earth understand the plan of the mystery, which was hidden for ages. Second, through the church, which means through the unity of Christians, which is the main message of the mystery, God's manifold wisdom should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm. It shows that the effect of the ministry is not only earthly, but also heavenly. It has massive significance. Also, in verse 11, it tells us that unity of all things in Christ is God's eternal purpose. What Paul telling his readers is that God's plan is not something small, but of huge significance. How great it is for us to know and understand it. After going through these 13 verses, we can see how great it is of this mystery. First, it is revealed by God through the Spirit. Second, it has a cosmic significance. And therefore, Paul doesn't want his readers to be discouraged or lost heart because he is in prison. So, what could we learn from these verses? What would be the main application that we could have after reading these verses? Paul has given us some hints in verse 13. It says, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged. Paul is telling his readers not to be discouraged. Same at us today. Don't be discouraged in the gospel when it doesn't seem to have much impact. Don't be discouraged when you or another Christian suffer because they speak up for Jesus. But why? Why we should not be discouraged when we face these difficult situations? It's because now we know the significance of this mystery. It's God's grace that we can understand the mystery. In verse 12, it says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Let us have faith in God and don't be discouraged as this wonderful mystery has revealed to us. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you for revealing this wonderful mystery to us. Let us understand how great it is. May the Holy Spirit always strengthen our hearts in our ministry, even when we are in a difficult time, so that we can work in line with your eternal purpose and don't lose heart in it. Don't be discouraged. May every one of us not only stay at the rational level of your teachings, but also own it, gain insights from it, and put them into actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.